Dear friends, as before, we'll be singing silently from the heart, and the organ will play the verses. For the first hymn is number 723. When I woke this morning, one of the verses, which is not in our book, was on my spirit. So Stephen will play the verses which are in our book, and I will read the verses which are not in our book. So Stephen will play verse 1, I will read verse 2, and then Stephen will play verses 3 and 4. Hymn 723. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Welcome. God's free bounty glorify. True belief and true repentance, every grace that brings us nigh. Without money, come to Jesus Christ and buy. View him grovelling in the garden. Lo, your Maker prostrate lies. On the bloody tree behold him. Hear him cry before he dies. It is finished. Sinner, will not this suffice? Lo, the incarnate God ascended, pleads the merit of his blood. Venture on him, venture wholly, let no other trust intrude. None but Jesus, can do helpless sinners good. Saints and angels joined in concert sing the praises of the Lamb, while the blissful seats of heaven sweetly echo with his name. Hallelujah. Sinners here may sing the same.
Let us read the Word of God. First reading, friends, in the first epistle general of Peter, chapter 1, and also reading the epistle of Jude. The first epistle general of Peter, chapter 1, reading part of the chapter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. As far we read there, friends, in Peter's first epistle, let us also read the general epistle of James, of Jude, the general epistle of Jude. The general epistle of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Blessed beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts in those things, they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they are gone in the way of Cain, and run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perish in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds are they, without water, carried about with winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which when spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus, that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, thou seest us gathered here. We are thankful, Lord, our dear friends here at Swavesey have begun to meet together again in this proper way, the way that we are called so to do. And Lord, how thou dost warn and advise in thy word, and especially upon our spirit has been the words, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And Lord, we are thankful that has been upon us in the way of what has been termed lockdown is released, Lord, so that under the lawful right we can gather again, not, Lord, breaking the law of our land. And Lord, we have thought a lot, thou knowest, over these months of the wonderful time when thou didst bring in by the wonderful Reformation and the bringing in and the signing of the Magna Carta and those three freedoms signed within it, freedom of worship, freedom of speech and freedom from arbitrary arrest. And Lord, we have felt so sad, thou knowest, that particularly that is so important to us, freedom of worship was taken from us. In that way, Lord, as us being banned from coming out and coming to the house of God. But, Lord, now thou knowest we are favoured to be together. We trust we can acknowledge that we love the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honour dwelleth, and may this be uppermost in our exercise today, even thy honour and glory, thou good and gracious God, our God and Saviour, our Heavenly Father. And that the Holy Spirit may come today and take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. Bless us, each of us, all of us, if it could please thee, many of us, may we be blessed to be in the Spirit, Lord, today. Lord, and may our hearts be indicted in a good manner, especially touching the King. And Lord, as we have been acknowledging and pleading and desiring in the hymn, Lord, we pray we may so know the favour. We think of the words, Lord, thy word, but we see Jesus, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour. We know thou art in thy high offices now, dear Lord. We trust, we know and believe in thee there. And Lord, that even now our poor words in prayer that, Lord, they would just take them and present them in that perfect way to God. And, Lord, so we plead, trusting we feel access to Thee, O God, our Heavenly Father, as we plead the precious name of Jesus. Lord, Thou knowest how we've been given yesterday. Thou came in a moment yesterday and spoke the word into our very heart and soul. Lord, Thou knowest how we were pleading for a word to bring to the friends here today. And Lord, one would humbly acknowledge, I humbly trust there was given it for them, Lord. Though we feel so insufficient, who is sufficient for these things? But oh, we beg Thee, Lord, as our friend and brother has, that Thou wilt come and by Thy Spirit, Thy holy divine influence upon us, Lord, and in us, that we may have that wonderful favour of liberty in preaching and the dear friends in hearing. Favour to hear for their soul's good. Oh, Lord, do come this day and suit Thy blessing to each dear soul here who is in a feeling sense of need of Thee and praying to Thee for what they need. And Lord, if there are any among us, Lord, who do not have Thy fear within them, if there are any among us still in the darkness of nature, oh, our great burden and concern is that Thou would, according to Thy will, quicken them into divine life, that Thy work may appear in them and for them, Lord, they might so be brought into concern, Lord, the reality of being brought to know solemnly Thy truth and taught of the Spirit, we believe will be in the reality of being brought into concern about our never-dying souls. Lord, those who hast appointed unto glory shall be called by grace. Oh, that Thy love set upon them from everlasting to everlasting must be made manifest in time here in the time state. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that such may know Thy solemn dealings with them, Thy beginning in them, Thy quickening and making alive spiritually, giving a new heart, dealing with them, teaching them by Thy Spirit. And Lord, as we plead in this way, we plead it upon the grounds of what we've experienced ourselves. Lord, Thou knowest there are those here who experience these things. And we pray together in this way for souls. Thou would, Lord, quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Oh, do let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, Lord, and Thy glory unto their children. May there be wonderful fruit from the ministry of the word here. Thou knowest we were listening to our dear friend Mr. Parrish preaching here, and what a very good sermon we felt it was. And Lord, Thou knowest we feel so small and poor to follow him. But Lord, Thou knowest we trust we have Thy word, which is so precious and important and wonderful. And Lord, that Thou would use it, and that Thou would so come today and apply Thy word to precious souls. And think of it, Lord, in the terms of what one pen, apply Thy word, that rules must give and teach us lessons how to live and firmly to believe. Oh, do come, Lord, to grant to Thy people, they may feel so much the need of it. Oh, grant that increase of faith for them, Lord, in them. Lord, when we have to come with confessions, how small our grace appears, our faith appears. But Lord, greater Thou art than all our doubts and fears. We look to Thee to do for us what we need. Oh, Lord, Thou wilt come and in Thy mercy attend to our cases. And Lord, where there is a need in of the purging out, a need of the searching of our hearts and the trying of our ways, Lord, oh, we pray they won't do it. If there is a need, Lord, of thy chastening us, we pray they won't do it. Oh, you know, with those of us who have experienced thy chastening, Lord, we know and remember how painful it was. But Lord, we know it was in love and mercy. And so those of us as have experienced these solemn things, yet prove them to be blessed things. Lord, we know for each of thy people according to the need that thou dost in thy sovereign will and purpose see, and what thou beholdest, Lord, of us each, thou knowest what is needed. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou would deal with us as with sons and daughters, and proving it to us that we are sons and daughters of thee, the holy God, God the Father, children of God and joint heirs with Christ, seal it to us. And Lord, as we have heard it in the hymn, Lord, we know we must be, we pray we may be looking unto Jesus. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Oh, Lord, we pray we may prove this wonderful goodness, thy appearing, Lord, thy coming to us today, thy great favour, Lord, in speaking to us and under the influence of the Spirit affecting us. And oh, especially, Lord, we may know that powerful effect of thy wonderful love. Shed abroad the Saviour's love, Lord, in these cold hearts of ours. Who knows, this is what we need, for when we turn our eyes within, everything is dark and vain and wild. Lord, we're so troubled with heart sins and our lust, Lord, and our pride. We know it needs to be dealt with, Lord. It needs to be dealt with again. Some of us have to say, Lord, we cast all our burden upon thee, Lord, in this and for this. Thou would deal with us in each of us here in love and mercy. We pray especially for the dear young people, the dear children. Lord, as we are experiencing these most solemn times, Lord, I know with you, we've a number of times in recent months we've been reading in Daniel. And Lord, especially that chapter which speaks so clearly of how things shall be. And even, Lord, as we have felt it, a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And Lord, not that we are the judge of this, but this is how it appears to us. This is what we're experiencing, Lord. And Lord, we know it is thy judgments upon us. And as one of thy dear servants, calling one, said, well, we knew the Lord's judgments would come. And Lord, oh, we did know it. We did expect it. And Lord, oh, we would not point finger at the world or even all those in abominable practices, Lord, though we feel it is so solemn they are. Lord, who knoweth, there were sent these things in way of judgment. And like as we've read a letter from one of thy dear servants, a very established servant of thine, even in his letter mentioned, the Lord may send after this, the Lord may send another judgment. Oh, Lord, we fear this. We beg, Lord, that there may be many brought to repentance. We beg that in our government, in our cabinet of ministers of government, they might be brought to realise and see and know that there the great God has visited the world with judgment. There is so little acknowledgement, Lord, of why these things have come. And like as in Daniel, it is solemnly true and relating to men in high places that they do not understand, but the wise shall understand. Oh, are we among the wise, Lord? Oh, give us that heavenly wisdom. Oh, give us to truly be wise, made wise unto salvation. May we be confirmed in this day, Lord. But, oh Lord, as we think of those in authority over us, we know they each possess a never-dying soul. And if they cannot discern these things, it gives that clear view to us, Lord, that they do not have thy fear. Not that we would be a judge over them. But, Lord, if they cannot discern these things, we know the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. And so, Lord, we pray for our government. Could it please thee to deal with them, to quicken them into life? We think of our Prime Minister, Lord, and he was, as one reporter said, our Prime Minister is gravely ill. And Lord, we know there was much prayer put up and they would just raise him up. Oh, we pray, Lord, I pray, and thou knowest, that thou would show him himself and solemnise him and make him realise that in the sovereignty of God he was raised up. Lord, but oh, how does he stand regarding his soul? Lord, we pray. Oh, could it please thee to quicken him, to deal with him, to pierce his heart with that blood-dipped dart? Oh, could it please thee to do it, Lord, and others in authority too, and those that do fear thee in our Parliament, Lord, do help them and help them to stand. Lord, hear us for our country. Look in mercy upon us still, Lord, in wrath remember mercy. We beg thee, Lord, as we begun to pray for the dear young people, who knoweth we have them in our heart to remember and pray for. For it is solemn to us what we, as we think of what they may see, what they may live to see. But Lord, if thou dost begin thy work, as we know since we've been coming here 32 years, Lord, and here in those early days we spoke to the Sunday school, and thou knowest we think of those, some of those that even was diligent to write little notes to us. And Lord, thou hast worked in them and blessed them and brought some of them into the church of God. And Lord, of these young ones now, Lord, oh, we beg of thee, deal with them, teach them, Lord, according to thy will. Oh, bless them to know and have the fear of God in their heart, to know thee, the living God. Oh, to know and be under the influence of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit begun. Could it please thee so to manifest them as born again? Lord, thou knowest. And we pray for them in all their natural daily pathway and their schooling. And they're growing up, Lord, keep them. Oh, teach them, keep them from the baser sort that they may have to mingle with in the world. Oh, Lord, do protect them, do keep them, do help them, and help them specially to reject the solemn things that are taught which are wrong in the teaching in the schools, Lord. Oh, thou canst guard them against those solemn things. Keep them, Lord. Oh, bless them. The dear parents in their family life are concerned to teach them the truth, to teach them right things. They may have in teaching in the school opposite to this. Oh, this is very solemn and very solemnly a burden to us. But Lord, if thou givest them thy grace, they will be saved, saved from everything, from world and flesh and devil. Lord, we look to thee. Oh, quicken and bless them, Lord, could it please thee. Hear us thus, thou, Lord, who knoweth we do greatly need thy help, who is sufficient for these things. We are feelingly so insufficient. But Lord, do come and bless souls here today. And may we truly have in the way of the Spirit working and the Spirit's influence upon us, may we have real worship of thee, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. may it be all to thy honour and glory, Lord, and the benefits that thou dost in thy wonderful goodness grant to souls, they will say, be all the glory thine. So help us, Lord, each of us. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Our next hymn is 123. Blood has a voice to pierce the skies. Revenge, the blood of Abel cries. But the dear stream, when Christ was slain, speaks peace as loud from every vein. Hymn 123.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the Epistle of Jude, the General Epistle of Jude. This morning, considering the opening lines of it, the opening verses, and I trust this evening go into the latter verses. So, this morning, friends, the first opening words here, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. In these epistles, several of the epistles, the beginning of them, there is, like as Paul's epistles and Peter's, there is a beginning in this kind of way that the address of it is to certain people. And here, of course, it is, as we've just read, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And then the desire of the dear, well, Jude is not actually named as an apostle, but he was as one. And to these people, it is directed, mercy, and these words, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Friends, when you read the epistles and begin to read them, you read such words as these. Do those words commend to your hearts? Do you feel that the Lord is speaking to you? Because we know the Word of God is alive and it is a living word to God's living people. But as we read these words like this morning, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified. Now, I hope I understand and have enough knowledge as God has taught me that I know there may be those dear younger friends and you're not very far in the way. But has God begun with you? Has God begun to teach you? Has God begun his work of grace in you? Even you young ones can consider this. You look at the old saints in the churches. You look at the elders in the church here. And you think, well, Mr. So-and-so is a godly man. I used to look to those deacons at Stockport when I was a young boy, and I used to think what godly men they were, and they were by grace. And you may be looking at them. And then when you come to read such a word as this, to them that are sanctified, and you think, well, am I going to be in the secret of this? Am I one of these? Am I one of these characters who God, in the way of his exercising his apostles and those that wrote the parts of the Word of God, were inspired by the Spirit? Is God speaking? Is God speaking to me? Is he speaking to my heart? Do you, dear young people, think like this? Because, of course, the Bible is absolutely up to date. And God is doing his work in the same way that he's always done it. There's no new way of God working. He's working today in the same way he always has done in dealing with precious souls. And it's like this, of course. And you will be brought to know it and acknowledge it, and not just in a way of the natural knowledge of the scriptures. When God begins with you, you'll be brought to feel, wow, I am under that condemnation, the same as all humanity. Oh, sin entered and death by sin. And we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And God teaches this. He convinces those he loves so that they are brought to be in such solemn concern about this. I'm under the curse of original sin. He makes us know it. He convinces us of it. You young people, do you have such thoughts in your young and tender minds and considerations? How am I and what am I? And how am I? Is it that you feel so different to what is here in this beginning of this epistle? Where it says to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Well, you may not be able to claim that, or you think of that, but you think, well, will I be brought to be this and in this favour? That's how I would kind of address you, dear young people, how you may be thinking, and I believe I have the Spirit to so name it in this way to you. You see, it is the reality of God, God's love to his people, and how he begins to make manifest his love is, of course, to each individual one, he begins to work in them. they're naturally born, as all mankind are, then in God's time they are to be born again. And oh, what a favour it is when we can acknowledge, like the hymn writer put it, he said, born I am and born of God. Now you need to know this, friends. If we are to be saved by grace, we need to know that the Lord has so begun to deal with us and is working in us and is teaching us. To them that are sanctified by God the Father. God the Father's perfect will and purpose is to sanctify his people in the way of his sanctification. What is sanctification actually? It's God separating out to himself his people for his praise. Now, is there any of this experience in you and God dealing with you? Do you feel that he's, I mean, like this, as I feel a burden for the young people especially. And I know that even an old person can still be in the darkness of nature, so don't think that I'm just lining at the people that are young without any solemn words towards those that are older. But friends, if it is that you're, whether it be young or old, or like this, young in the way, is this the reality? If God has quickened you into life, God has begun to deal with you, to separate you out to his praise, to thank. That's the first, I believe, important way to consider sanctification. Separate God, separating his people out to his praise, honour and glory. Oh, that he has set his love upon them before the world, and in time, his appointed time appears when he begins to do his work. Now, friends, this will bring us to the right point of solemn consideration, I think. Has he begun in you, friend? Has he begun to deal with you? Has he made you know solemnly what you are and where you are, whether you be young or old? Or middle age, has the Lord begun his work in you? Has God the Father begun his work so you can begin to believe that God is your Heavenly Father? Sanctified by God the Father. Preserved in Jesus Christ, you know, I think of it. Preserved in Jesus when my feet made haste to hell. And there should I have gone, but thou dost all things well. Oh, his love was great, his mercy free, which from the pit delivered me. Can you say it? Is that in a way a summing up of your experience? Yes, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Yes, you see, because... Oh, of course, God's sovereign love set upon his people. And in the covenant of grace, they were all the names were enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life. And in the covenant of grace, it was all agreed in the Trinity of Persons what God would do in the way he would work, begin his work and carry on his work and complete his work in his people. And of course, the perfect agreement of how the whole church shall be saved from the ruins of the fall, which God, of course, foresaw perfectly. Everything was agreed. And those chosen objects of his love, whom God set his love upon and chose in Christ, everyone, it was appointed for them, everything of the way and means of their being first born naturally and then born of the Spirit. Oh, parents, native place and time, all appointed were by him. Friends, do you meditate upon this? Do you consider these things? Do you consider the reality of who you are and what you were and who you are now? Good for those who are led on in the way to look back and remember the whole of the pit from whence they were dead, because, you know, we were in the grave of nature when we were born. You say, well, when a baby's born, the wonderful first sign of life is the cry, and the parents, they want to hear the cry. But you see, actually, we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We're born to die. And condemned to die, we will be under the law of God. Do you know something of the law of God condemning you? Do you feel your guilt? In this way, part of the sanctifying of God the Father is to make his people feel and know their guilt as sinners. And part of the wonderful way of the preserving in Jesus is, oh, it's like this, friends, he saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate. That's the preserving of God, is by his saving, his beginning to save. When he once begins to save, his work he'll never forsake, friends. And so he goes on to be gracious. Preserved in Jesus Christ and called, friends, called by grace. Oh, called out of nature's darkness. Now, do you have this in your experience? I mean, you see, all other things, there are the external things of religion, which may be in some many ways important to us, but the reality that is vitally important is to know that the work of grace has been begun by God, and he is carrying on his work in us. You know who the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. These are the important things, friends, the vitally important things. And he said, in another term in the Philippians, he said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now, friends, what I want to come to points to is this. Now, are you and I here, each of us, are we one of these characters who is sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called? You know, I had a time in my life, in my young days, I sported with death. I like the hymn says, Satan's blind slave, I sported with death. Some of you may be near to that or in that, or in whatever way it is. I was never interested in the things that some are, like some in the various things. I do not want to really name the names here, but the various things of pleasure and all the things of excitement there are in, and that young people like to get involved in and do. And some of it, especially in these days, is most vile and awful. Not that I know much about it, but only see notices on shop windows sometimes, especially those wicked shops where you can hire those things and look at them and hear them. And you want to avoid all those, you dear young people. But not to you will even naturally you should avoid them and not get taken up with them. And if any of you are taken up with these things of vice and awful things, oh, you're in solemn danger. You're in solemn danger if you are taken up with all these wicked things. You may not be taken up outwardly, but if you've got them in your heart, may the Lord convict and convince you of it. And I believe this is a wonderful purpose that God will use. He will perform, and he will use his law, and he will bring his people in guilty before him, a holy God. And some of you young people are experiencing this. I'm persuaded you are. And he's doing it in mercy. Your heavenly Father is doing it in love. If you are having deep, solemn qualms of conscience and solemn feelings of guilt in you before a holy God, God is doing it. God is working. And there will be a wonderful other side to it. He will convince of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. God will. He does it in every one of his people in some depth and measure. Sometimes it's in a deep measure early in their experience. Other times it becomes more deeper later. But the Lord knows his way for each one to deal with them. Sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. I particularly see and feel this personally. Preserved in Jesus Christ. How I was when I sported with death with my cousin. Those few years I did. Then God stopped me in my wild career. You know. Oh, how he saved me from my lost estate in that way. By stopping me in my wild career. And some of you he's done the same in. Oh, and you bless him for it now. Especially you older ones who look back. You bless the Lord for what he's done in you. This is the way and reason on this side of it, the side of the law, and it will be the side of the gospel that you are living now, thankful to God for his goodness to you. Thankful that he did solemnly convict and convince us of our sin and then wonderfully led us to Jesus' precious blood to plead for forgiveness and pardon, to plead the precious blood of Jesus for our acceptance with God. No other way can we be accepted with God. And like Paul the Apostle writes, has written in the Ephesians in the first chapter, God's purpose is to make his people so that they are made accepted in the Beloved, so that they shall be made fit for heaven. And can be landed home at last in that land of pure delight. You see, this is the purpose of God. Cool, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called by grace. You know, sometimes people get very concerned about the solemn, vital, fundamental doctrine of sovereign election. But this wonderful calling proves God's people's election of God. It proves your sovereign election, your one elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience unto Christ and preserved in Jesus Christ and called by grace. Wonderful favour. Oh, it's a wonderful thing when the Holy Spirit is working in a precious soul to give them concern, to want to be confirmed, to know that they are called by grace. And the way God will do it, various ways, means he will use, but he will show you. And I tell you how I believe, as I look back, he shows me time and time again, he shows me. And he gives me to feel this deeply and wonderfully, yet solemnly. He gives me to know and say, it was not the will of man. My soul's new heavenly birth began. I would have never done it for myself, friends, and nor you. You would never change your own heart. You would never do anything in a way of working for the purpose of salvation. It's God's work alone. It's nothing of the creature. It's all of the Creator. And he will perform and carry on his new creation. Yes, the work of the Spirit is the new creation that God works and makes and does in his people. You will rightly pray. It's sweet where the hymn writer prays him. Carry on thy new creation, Alpha and Omega be. The Lord will do it. He'll begin it and he'll carry it on in his people. He makes his people anew. I mean, he gives them a new heart. He changes the heart and he renews the will. Sanctified, preserved in Jesus Christ and called now. Before we go further today, friends, I would, if I may carefully do, I would exhort you each to beg of God to confirm you in these points here at the beginning of this epistle. Sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now are you this and am I? Has God so effected it in us, brought us into this wonderful secret of that we're, you really, I could say, I believe I can rightly say, this is a word to acknowledge the true born children of God, the family of God, the children of God, and children of God they are, and joint heirs with Christ, served in Jesus Christ. And those of you who are young in the way, you've perhaps not known much of the, or not known what you desire of the blessing, or what comes through and in and by and through the sacrifice of Christ. And you're feeling after Christ, you want him, you're seeking for him, you're seeking to know him, and praying. And as the Lord himself said, seek and ye shall find, and you're looking and you're diligently searching and seeking to find Christ. You may think of how he is termed in the word and acknowledge the pearl of great price. And you know you're seeking him. The favour is God's brought you into this, and you are to know more favour and God's blessing and God's further dealings with you and his wonderful teachings. I think of the theme it comes is inward, thy inward teachings make us know our danger and our refuge too. And this will be, it's like a summary of your experience and mine, I trust. Well, here the dear man, dear Judy, led by the Spirit, he has in his heart a large heart. He says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Friends, I trust I can honestly say that's my desire, my heart's desire for every one of you. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Mercy unto you. As the Lord made, and bearing in mind what we've been trying to consider, as the Lord made Jesus Christ very precious to you, is it a proof of the teaching of the Spirit in you, both upon what we have said regarding the call by grace that God calls his people, calls them into concern, calls them into feeling sense of need and diligent search for the Lord and seeking the Lord, called by grace. I think of those two passages of scripture in Matthew's Gospel. I think it's somewhere about, not quite sure the chapters, so I better not say, but there are two chapters where there is a solemn word that finishes the theme, and it's this. It says, and the Lord states it, he says, many are called, but few are chosen. And I particularly think of one of those kind of parables as they were. It was the husbandman, Lord of the fields of vineyard, he called these at different times of the day to work in his vineyard. And at the end of the day, they all received the same wages. And some of them were wroth because they had not received as much as they thought they should. But the Lord, in summing it up in his holy words, he explained and he finished up by saying, many are called, but few are chosen. And I think particularly of those that worked in the vineyard, those that complained, the ones that were satisfied or didn't, It seems they were pleased to work in the vineyard and do what they were commanded to do. But those who complain, they hadn't got any care really for the vineyard. They hadn't got any real interest in it. Now, like this, friends, with you, if you're called by grace, you will have real interest in Christ. You will know him as your Lord and your life and your all. It's what thinking of Christ is a test, friends, to try both their state and their scheme. And it's to these that really know their need of Christ, really know him as their best beloved, as the one thing needful. Here, the dear servant of God, he writes in this way, he says, mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. You know that's what you need, and that's what God's people will be blessed to receive at God's hand, all his kindness, his loving kindness to them, his providing for them, his dealings with them, working in them. This is what they will receive. And the apostle, we know he's not actually named as an apostle, but he surely was an apostle Jude. And his heart's desire, his prayer here really, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Now, friends, I hope you gather that I come to you with concern for you each, for your never-dying souls. And I come and I believe I can use these words, the words here, is my desire for you each. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Oh, I desire it for you each, friends, that you may know the wonderful, rich mercy of God. Mercies in Jesus Christ. Oh, we know that when we're brought under solemn conviction of sin, the only thing we can do then is like the publican did. We have to cry to God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, is it with you? You know your sins, and as God more and more reveals to you his holiness and his majesty, which he will do in going on to deal with you and teach you, he will show you and reveal to you more of the deep depravity of your heart. When you consider what you are, you feel so unlike God's people. But, oh, he has purpose to make you to be fully, truly like and blessed as God's people are. He is, and this is here in the desire here, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Mercy unto you, and particularly, friends, it's the mercies in Jesus Christ that we desire one for another. I desire for every one of you, mercy, mercy unto you, mercy. You know God's mercy, mercy or the guilty. Oh, God's mercy is to his people because of his love to them, his loving kindness, his sovereign purpose to have them for his praise. He must, according to his holy will, solemn holy will, as the word says, the wicked shall be turned into hell with all the nations that forget God. But the word of God also speaks that God has purposes of love and mercy to a number which no man can number. And he will have them with him in heaven. In Isaiah, I've quoted it so many times in preaching, we read those words regarding God's people. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. You see, dear young people, I believe you know it well and are well taught in the Sabbath school that God has this wonderful purpose of love and mercy to his people because he has purpose to have them with him, God Jehovah, with him in heaven forever and ever. And heaven is that holy, happy place where sin no more defiles. And God's people are there, many are home in heaven now. John saw 144,000 when he was on the Isle of Patmos, and there's many more been added to them. We are among the people now who are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And of course, there's the record of those that have gone before, of Old Testament saints, are all home in heaven. And also we think, and I think of this a lot in these days, thinking of being compassed about with a cloud of witnesses, great cloud of witnesses, and many, many of our dear friends have lived and we've known them. And they've come to the end of their days and they've been taken by the hand of death and home to heaven. And if you write down the list of all those you've known of God's people, it will be a long list. Even you young ones could write quite a list. Perhaps you might think to do that, of those dear people of God you've known. They're gone, and like the hymn I said, gone in endless bliss to dwell, while we are left below. And you will feel it, and you feel, and if God is dealing with you, you'll feel what that hymn I said, struggle with the powers of hell, till Jesus bid us go. But he'll help us in the battle, friends. He'll help us in the struggle. He'll give grace. He will give the grace we need. He'll grant you all the help you need as you call upon him, beg for it. He'll give it, mercy unto you. And this is what here is desired for the people. Mercy unto you. And peace and love be multiplied. The mercy first. Oh, we are so poor to say much on it, but mercy unto you. I many times meditated upon the mercy of God and tried to preach on it. Ever so many times now, mercy unto you. Oh, this is so suitable and such a great need that God's people are in need of the mercy of God. Thinking particularly of the solemn justice of God and his holiness and his majesty and what we are. Like as in the psalm it said, God sitteth on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers. The great God who made the world, spake and it was done. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. Mercy unto you. You see, these words are God's words, given to dear Jude to write. The Holy Spirit's words, God, it's God's desire, it's God's purpose, it's God's will that his people should receive and know and experience God's mercy. Mercy unto you. This is the way loving God so has purposed and desired, and here it is expressed in this way, mercy unto you. God's will for his people is to be merciful to them, be kind to them, to bless them, to deal with them, to teach them. Mercy unto you. You know, friends, even whatever you and I have had to go through, whatever we've had to suffer, whatever we've experienced of very hard things, it may be in affliction or loss and cross, you will, if you're a true child of God and God exercises you by his Spirit, you will see mercy, even in the most blackest, most awful, most hard things. That in the sovereignty of God we have to know, you'll always be able to find mercy. God's people will. And so as Jude desired it, I believe it must have been upon the means and way of his own experience. Although, of course, the words are inspired by the Spirit. Mercy unto you. And you think of it, the highest, most wonderful way of God's people being brought to experience and consider the mercy of God is as they are brought to consider Christ. I don't think I'll ever forget the evening I come here, I think it was an evening, our friend prayed, oh, we might leave everything and consider Christ. Yes, you will be. God will bring you to this, to consider mercy unto you. And as you're blessed with mercy, God favours you to know mercies. It will especially be those mercies in Jesus Christ. And it will be what he has done for you. It will be what you hope he's done for you. And this way God is merciful to you. He is merciful and gracious. How is it God can be merciful and gracious? Because he's provided all the means for his people that they may be blessed to know his mercy. He and friends, as we would more deeply consider this, God has punished for us his own dear son. Oh, if we've been brought to know this and feel this, that God the Father, sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you. God the Father has punished his own dear son for our sins. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And God is merciful to us because he can be merciful to us, because his beloved son has made payment for the sins of the church. And so they are accepted in his beloved son. Mercy unto you. Mercy that you may know it. This is my heart's desire, that you may know and experience mercy in the ways the Spirit leads you to, as I believe he will every one of his people in the measure and depth is sovereignly ordained for them. Mercy unto you. Yes. And peace. And peace. Well, of course, friends, God's people will know a lot of what is opposite to peace. Some of you may be in it now. Are you in the turmoil of the warfare? Oh, the warfare, the battle. Those in the midst of the battle, especially, I think of younger ones, maybe you may be beginning to come into the battle. The battle that's against you, that's Satan. It's headed up by Satan. The trouble is, you and I have this great trouble, that our old natural hearts will follow Satan. But oh, there is within the child of God a new heart given them. And the conflict is between the two natures. And in this battle, think of battle. I know, I remember the late Mr. Tyler, who was pastor at the Dicker, telling us in one of his sermons that in the war, they would some mornings come out of chapel and they could hear the guns being fired in France. And that would be at the time of the Battle of Britain, which has been commemorated recently. You know, you think of that. How near the enemy were. Just the other side of that water, we went to for a day down to near Dover to St. Margaret's and spent a few hours there last Monday. It was my wife's birthday. And we could see the coast of France. Oh, think of that. But friends, oh, may we acknowledge how God preserved us and made us victorious, how he heard prayer. But friends, your conflict and mine, your battle that rages within you, well, it's desired here in the Word. Oh, mercy and peace. And love be multiplied. Oh, to feel the great favour, the love of God, the love of Christ. And how God so multiplies the favours he grants to his people. And the wonderful things, the wonderful love of God, which all loves excel in. We cannot say much more now, but the Lord knows. It's in my heart to go to the latter verses this evening, if we are blessed and spared to come up, friends, and kept in exercise. But I leave you with this morning. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. You might know it more and more. Know it as you need it. Know the fresh supplies of grace as you need them. Oh, everything you need really is summed up in these desires here. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach to us this evening at 6:30, and Mr. John Rosier on Tuesday evening at 7:00. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Gerard Charmley is expected to preach at 10:30 and 6:30. Our closing hymn is 438. This is a hymn we sometimes sing at the Lord's table. But may we by faith view a dear dying Christ as we sing from our hearts. Hymn 438. This was compassion like a God, that when the Saviour knew the price of pardon was his blood, he pity ne'er withdrew.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything there is seen amiss in our service. Do own and bless thy word, Lord. Come up with us this evening, Lord, that we may know and feel the favour of those mercies in Jesus that exempt us from hell, and help us to praise thee, Lord. Lord, may we have it in our heart and feel the expanding of our heart. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. Help us each, Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.